Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cruise Life Experience Podcast. Cruise Director Mitch.
And Cruise Director Mike.
And we're, first of all, excited to have you back. If you're listening to us again or watching us on YouTube, if this is your first one, thank you so much for being here. It is a fun, informative podcast. We talk all things cruising, whether you work on a ship or whether you love to cruise. And Mike, welcome back. Episode 4. It's going to be lit.
Yep. I can't believe you said that. We're way too old to be saying that, number one. Number two, very exciting episode. We're going to actually talk a little bit about myths and misconceptions about going on a cruise.
Yeah, exactly. And something else really cool is, you know, everything's on pause right now. We're going to talk to a cruise director who was on one of the last ships sailing around the world with guests. And we're going to get a retrospective on exactly what happened and how that was.
Cool. Let's kick things off. We're going to talk about one of the most common misconceptions is if I go on a cruise, I'm going to get seasick.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people think that, and maybe back in the 70s when the ships were that small, but it's not like that anymore. We're talking resorts at sea, and it just doesn't happen. Like, you know, some people are susceptible, but there's lots of ways to get around it. One of which, of course, is the stabilizers on the ship nowadays.
Yeah. There's a certain degree of list where the captains will actually put out the stabilizers. And for those who don't know what stabilizers are, they act as wings or fins underneath the ship. So essentially they lay flat against the belly of the ship. And then if we start to list too much like this, they will extend and they will prevent the listing and the rocking of the ship. Now, most new ships, of course, have these, and they're only used in really rough kind of conditions.
Yeah, and I tell you, the new big ships, we're talking the Oasis class, you do not even notice when the ship is leaving or coming into port. I mean, unless you're down on deck two at the front of the ship or way at the back of the ship, you do not feel the ship moving. They're huge.
Now, you mentioned deck two. What's actually great is if you do suffer from motion sickness, the best place you can actually book a room as a guest is midship, so the center of the ship, and as low as you can get, deck three, deck four, deck five. The lower you get, the lower the center of gravity is, and the less the motion will be. What other ways can people help alleviate motion sickness, if you will, on a cruise ship?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people wear the bracelets. They wear the patches behind the ears, Dramamine, that kind of stuff. There's the people say drink ginger ale and bitters, and you know, green apples can help you feel better. That's mostly if the ship's rocking and rolling a little bit, which you know, but as we said, those ships, the big ones these days, they're a lot wider. You know, you're talking, okay, Symphony of the Seas, about 4 football fields long and almost 2 wide. So you're talking over 300 meters, almost 1200 feet. They're massive. So it's not like the small ships in those good old days that used to have 300 people, which is where you'd kind of feel it, because that's just like a big boat.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we talk about the next misconception, we say that cruising is only for seniors. And number one, let me take that back. Even though my grandmother was a senior, I hate the word senior. I always like to say people with life experience, because they know a heck of a lot more than, you know, they'll forget a lot more than I'll ever remember. So we'll talk about that demographic, the people who have the luxury of being retired. Exactly. So some people say cruising is only for retired people. What do you say about that?
I mean, they say the same thing about, you know, anywhere, Florida or you said it, retired people are able to go out and experience. They're going to be always out there on vacation, traveling the world because they're retired. Okay. So yeah, in the old days, cruising used to be really expensive, very luxurious, and not available for, you know, many people, especially a lot of young people and families. It wasn't geared toward that. That's just not the way it was. It's completely changed. And, you know, a lot of the cruise lines are completely marketed differently. A lot of young guests and cruisers on Royal Caribbean. You could look up the demographics and the average ages that are cruising. I think in Royal Caribbean, it's actually now between like 35 and 44 is the actual average guest age. So, you know.
And it's weird because there are a lot of cruise lines who their target audience are of different age demographics. And we can get into that maybe in another episode or maybe with our special guest here today. But I'll tell you that if you are young and you're one of these people who've asked this question, the amount of activities that you can do on the ships sailing the seven seas here today range anywhere from, I believe Carnival has a roller coaster or NCL has a roller coaster that goes around.
It's coming out soon, next year.
Then you've got laser tag that's on a bunch of our ships. You've got the zip line. You've got, slides that go six.
Yeah, think about the Ultimate Abyss, right? That comes from all the way down. You got the ice skating rinks. You got the rock climbing. You've got the state-of-the-art gym, the spa facilities, all the amazing restaurants and bars. It's completely changed. And you're right. Like people that say, oh, it's for old people, that means that obviously they haven't been on a ship or seen a ship in years, because it's just completely changed. You know, it rivals the resorts out there.
Yeah, it's better than the resorts. I don't know what you're talking about. But listen, next one. Are we going to eat in buffets all week long? I know a lot of people go to resorts down in, let's say, Dominican, or down to, if you're Canadian, a popular destination is Cuba.
Mexico.
We're going to eat in buffets all week. Talk a little bit about the food choices.
Yeah, I mean, all of our ships have the buffet. That's a standard, but there's also the main dining room. So a lot of people don't realize you go to the main dining room, breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's included with the price. It's an amazing experience as well. You know, you're talking the best class in waiters and, you know, service. But then there's all those specialty restaurants as well. Now, some of them are complimentary. Some of them have an upcharge, but you're talking steakhouses, Asian fusion, you know, Italian. Jamie Oliver has a restaurant on Royal Caribbean. It's all kinds of restaurants like that. But also, you know, on the big new ships as well, there's all kinds of different stuff. There's just outlets where you can grab and go, like Latin, Mexican style food. Or then there's, you know, the dog house, and then there's the donut shop, pizza place. So, you know, it's not just you have to go to the buffet. I mean, I think that Virgin doesn't even have buffets on the new ship that's coming out, Scarlet Lady.
Yeah, that's interesting. But can I give a shout out to all the hardworking men and women who work in the main dining room? I mean, these people come from all over the world, India, Philippines, Indonesia, and much, much more. And they provide a level of service that rivals any five-star restaurant in any major city, anywhere in North America. I mean, they really are incredible. Like, people will talk about them because they'll order the first night, let's say a Caesar salad and a Coca-Cola to start, right? And the next night they order the same thing. Well, the third night they come in, a Caesar salad and a Coca-Cola are waiting for them because they know, they remember, they have this incredible... I don't even know what it is. I can only aspire to have their level of memory and their level of care and their level of service. So a big shout out to the international crew working in the food and beverage department.
Yeah. Hardest job out there. I worked in restaurants for 10 years before cruise ships, and they work their butts off. So exactly.
Last one. And of course there are many. We'll get to others in future episodes. The rooms. Our cabins, if you will. Everybody always calls them cabins. They're small, right?
I mean, yeah. First of all, you said we'll get to these in future episodes. We want to hear more. So if anyone has any, let us know. Or if you want to expand us to expand, we can. Now, do you mean staterooms for guests? Or do you mean crew cabins? Or do you mean everything?
No, the rooms that the guests stay in.
I mean, I think on average, the staterooms overall are a little bit smaller than in a hotel. However... boutique hotel, maybe not really that much, and definitely in Asia, not really. It depends. And now, nowadays, the rooms are a lot bigger than they used to be. But the most important thing is you're hardly in your room when you're on a cruise.
Absolutely. We keep you busy so often, and every cruise line does an exceptional job. We don't want you in the stateroom. We want you out there enjoying all the entertainment activities that goes on throughout the ship, and any cruise director would preach that to anybody. They want to be, of course, keeping their guests entertained, and that makes happy guests, you know?
There's some people that really actually like to stay in the rooms, and for those people that may like to get breakfast in the room or hang out a little bit more, get a balcony, you know what I mean? Or you can go ahead and join up with the amazing new suites, because the suites have completely changed the game in the last 10 years. You know, NCL has this whole amazing suite area with a special pool. A lot of cruise lines do. Royal Caribbean has the amazing Royal Suite class, where you can be in, you know, have a genie who can just be at your beck and call like a butler. That's in the Star class, multi-level loft suites. It's insane.
Incredible. Listen, we're going to dip into the mailbag. We've had a couple questions that we've picked out that we're going to get into. The first one is from Jen. Jen asks, what happens with the food waste? Do they just throw everything overboard and into the ocean?
Yeah, no. You know, we talked about this, and if people want, what we're going to do is we're going to do a whole episode on the environmental footprint of the ships and how that's changed. And there's been some bad press in the last couple of years, certain times, certain companies. But Royal Caribbean, you know, one of our mantras is save the waves. Save the waves. That means nothing goes overboard, absolutely nothing. So the company does an amazing job in making sure that the ships are first rate, top technical in the world. They're able to do all kinds of amazing stuff from making our own water on board to, of course, making sure that all the food doesn't pollute the ocean, or everything, anything doesn't pollute the ocean.
I don't mean to keep, I know we said this is kind of a cruise line across the board. We want to just promote cruising in general, give the positive vibes. And I know we come back to Royal Caribbean because that's who we are, right? We are Royal.
Yep.
But the Symphony of the Seas is a zero landfill ship. Nothing that gets off of the ship goes to a landfill, which is absolutely incredible. And like we said, we'll get into that in another episode coming up.
Like, so, which is great. So, you know, we'll have an environmental officer that can tell us about the food. So, you know, how it works and what we're able to put overboard and all this stuff. You know, it's amazing the actual guidelines that are out there for the world. And you mentioned Royal Caribbean. Royal Caribbean goes above and beyond. Whatever the guideline is, they'll go a step ahead. We don't know what the other cruise lines are like exactly when it comes to those policies, but you're right, we can speak from experience. So we can dedicate a whole episode to that coming up, which is pretty cool.
Sure. And Sean asks, can you divulge the actual work schedule and responsibilities of some of the crew members on board so that the guests understand what happens and what goes on behind the scenes? And yes, we will do that, Sean. I know we touched a little bit about that, what a cruise director does, but we'll go into some other details coming up in future episodes in regards to crew schedules and kind of what happens behind the scenes, what is out of the guest's eyes. Because we all know places like Disneyland, where they have kind of the underground tunnel where people get to here and there, you know, all the secrets of kind of Disney. We'll get into a little bit of the cruise industry secrets and what happens behind the scenes in regards to that.
Yeah, Abe mentioned it last week, the I-95. The guests always wonder, how do you guys get so quickly to one place from the other? And where's where do the crew walk? We never see you. Well, that's because, yes, you know, one of those tips is we have the I-95. It's a main thoroughfare through the entire deck of the ship at the very bottom. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. And maybe we will get a crew member to tell us about the typical day. But it's everything from scheduling for managers, boat drills, trainings, work schedules, all kinds of stuff.
Great. Well, let's go ahead and get into our special guest here for today. We're very happy to bring him here. So go ahead and bring him in, Mitch. He is a cruise director. He's worked as a cruise director for three different cruise lines, Norwegian Cruise Line, as well as Celebrity Cruise Line, and now Oceania Cruise Lines. We welcome Mr. Paul Baia.
All right. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Paul.
Nice to have you here, Paul. Good to see you. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got to the role of cruise director? Now, I know the role where you came from, starting as a purser, but maybe walk us through and the different cruise lines that you worked for.
Well, I started out back in 1995, many a moon ago, right out of college, 2 weeks after college graduation, had an interview with Norwegian Cruise Line. And it was a 3-question interview. What did I work at this hotel in New Hampshire? What I know about Norwegian Cruise Line. Once I gave them information, they were impressed. And the third question was, we have a job starting on our flagship, the SS Norway, with Norwegian Cruise Line as an assistant purser starting 11 days. Are you interested? So I never took a cruise before, didn't know anybody in the industry, and just used my hotel experience and started as an purser, assistant purser there on the SS Norway. While I was there, I was volunteering for the cruise director's staff. I had some free time in the evenings, and they had their Caribbean nights, their 50s and 60s, sock hop, and so forth. And it just looked like a lot of fun. The team members there with the cruise directors and out there with the guests. And so just volunteered, never thought about, you know, your cross promotion, cross training opportunities. Just, it was something fun to do in addition to working behind the front desk, and then just made a movement. They said, you're wasted behind the front desk. You should be part of cruise director staff. So that was probably in 96, 97, made the switch. Or to cruise director staff as a host, up to assistant cruise director for about 3 or 4 years. And then around 2000, 2001, still with NCL, had an opportunity to take over as cruise director while the cruise director went on his vacation. So held down the fort for 2 months. And then when he came back, back to assistant cruise director until an opportunity was just picked up, and then made that move. It was 1 month shy of 15 years with Norwegian Cruise Line, and right around 2010, was looking to make a move. It was about 15 years with one line, just thought maybe switch over. I had some colleagues that were with Celebrity Cruises, said it'd be a good fit, and basically made the switch over there to Celebrity. Was there for, 9 years. And then last summer, made a switch over to Oceania. So wow. Still enjoy the front lines, just it's completely different, in terms of the brands and seeing it. But I had that opportunity to hopefully, one point back years ago to go with Royal Caribbean. As you know, I had a chance to see you, Mike, on, I think it was one of the Adventure of the Seas. Can't remember the specific one. And just had two handshake offers from them, but I think it was right when Oasis was coming out and everyone was trying to get answers from the home office, and just a Celebrity saw me fishing and reeled me in. So the rest is history, but happy I made the move. So all good.
Nice. Nice. You've worked for three different cruise lines. Can you tell us if you were going to say to somebody who had never cruised before in a few brief words, how would you describe Norwegian? How would you describe Celebrity? How would you describe Oceania for somebody who's never cruised before?
Well, I think, it comes down to the age demographic. What are they looking for in the cruise? You try to figure out for someone who's never cruised before, their idea of getting out of the country is go to the Bahamas for 3 days, when other people say, hey, I want to go over to Europe. I want to see more. I want to spend more time overnights in the ports. I don't want to be rushed back on board. So I think we really sometimes depend on travel agents to really get the details of making sure they're selecting the right person for the right cruise. But, I think within NCL, their brochures, if you look at them, sometimes there's 10, 15 pages of specific detail work of their youth program, their kids program, very highly family oriented. When you start getting into Celebrity Cruises, while they're still youth program, it's one thing that may be offered, but isn't necessarily pushed as heavy as it would be, say, for Norwegian. And you will see that with the demographic that come on. And now, coming up on a year with Oceania, there's sometimes a cruise, 1,250 guests and not one child at all on board the ship. And even if a child was there on board, there's no specific youth program. Sometimes they'll bring on some seasonals up in Alaska for a 7-day cruise, but there's no designated lounge and program. So that's where you see the difference. And it's kind of great after 24 years, you see this change in the graphic that's on board. Exciting to
I tell you, Oceania is lucky. I really wish you would have joined Royal back in the day, but it's amazing how you've kind of navigated your way literally throughout the cruise industry, because I feel like you've really got to experience so much more than I have. But is there any one story that if somebody says, hey, tell me an interesting story from your time at sea where you all, is kind of your go-to? Because when we all sit around as cruise directors, we tell stories that people just have, and not just cruise directors, anybody who's worked a cruise ship, we'll tell stories that people just have. People are like, you're lying. There's no possible way. But is there one go-to story?
Well, I think that in terms of the entertainers I've worked with, the story actually took place, I think, maybe like 4 or 5 years before I started. But everyone talks about it. I know the person who completed this task wrote a part of his book. But the entertainer was a comic magician named Rich Purpura. And for those that know the name of the industry, once you mention that name, there's probably two main stories that come out. And just in a nutshell, one was somehow smuggling a goat, I believe it was in Cozumel, Mexico, and put a bow tie on the goat and released it during a captain's welcome soiree down the aisle. So while the captain is speaking, here comes a goat going down the aisle wearing a bow tie. That was one of his notorious stories. And then the other one, the go-to, that apparently someone said he wanted to have a beach party in his cabin. So he removed all the furniture from his room, put plastic bags, taped them along the wall, somehow got buckets and buckets and buckets of sand for his cabin, inflatable palm trees, mixed drinks, the whole lot. And once the party was done, somehow hired some a housekeeping staff to remove every grain of sand for a handsome amount of money. And when finally checked on the room the next day, of course, post-soiree, but Rich is there, wakes up in his bed, not a grain of sand in the room. And I wish I was there to experience that. that live, but these are the go-to stories that you say, like, wow, the stuff that, that went on that you could probably really never get away with these days, you know, let alone how do you get a passport for a goat, you know?
It's funny because Mike and I both talked about both of those stories as one of the stories we're going to discuss at some point, and about getting Rich on the show and just to talk about it.
I think we'd love it.
Yeah. Mitch, I got to tell you about a time that I made Paul really upset. We're backstage. I don't know if you remember this, Paul. We're backstage and you had put every single entertainer that we had on throughout the course of the week as a part of the farewell show. And that's, you know, normally you'd put like a juggler and a comic or a singer and whatever, but you had like people as a part of the farewell show. And gosh, Larry was the, I can't remember his last name.
Larry Lockwood.
Larry Lockwood. And he played that song. And there'd be a vamp. And every vamp, I would be like, and your juggler, Edge. And so there was like five of them. And then at the end of that, I was like, also brought to you by the letter T and the number 2. And you turned to me and you gave me such a nasty look. I don't know if you remember that.
Maybe going off script a little bit, but
yeah,
I remember that one time, Mike. I think that you and I, when we were on, I think it was Norwegian Dawn. And do you remember the scratch off ticket story?
No,
the scratch win ticket.
Oh no,
that we went to a mall. You and I, and we found one of those fake scratch off tickets where you scratch off and you automatically win whatever money it's going to be. And we presented this to our hotel director at the time, with NC. I think it was the Dawn, if I'm not mistaken, the Dawn of Jewel. But and so we dropped it off in his office and I gave it to him. And his secretary was there, Carol, his administrative assistant. And you and I went to dinner up at the Cagney Steakhouse, I think, on the ship at the time. It was right around sail away from Port Canaveral, if not mistaken. And all of a sudden, it's around 7:30, we're in our evening attire, and Klaus comes bolting into the restaurant looking for us, still wearing his white attire for the day. Where are you? It says, I won. I won $10,000. I want my money. Where do you get this? And what you and I are oh, like, oh, God. He fell for it. And I said, did you scratch it off? He says, no, I gave it to my assistant because I didn't want to get that little gray stuff under my nails. So she apparently scratched it off. Like, sir, you won $10,000. What? So, and we had to make him turn the card over to read how he's supposed to claim it. And I think it was that to claim this, you need to present this coupon to the Easter Bunny during a consecutive 5 rainbows in a row. Kind of realized it was a joke and that's it, you nasty, both of you, so rude, but good times.
speaking of food, how much, Paul, do you love sushi?
I love sushi. Yeah. It's just one of those quick meals and can't go wrong. I think you and I, it was like our go-to restaurants on the Norwegian Dawn, just to sit down there. It's our 19th hole to catch up and yeah, at least once, twice, three times a week if you could have it. So
nice. Here's a great one for you. I saw something on social media where you guys were one of the last cruise ships to be sailing with guests. And I was kind of following along to you. I reluctantly didn't send you any messages because I know if I was in that position, how busy you would be. And Mitch, I mean, you'd be in the exact same boat, how busy we'd be. Tell us a little, just very briefly, about kind of what happened. Were you denied going into ports? And how did you come up with entertainment and activities ideas for those guests to keep them entertained?
Well, we were amidst a 2-week cruise rounding around Cape Horn, heading it up just when all the issues were happening with the virus kind of peeking its way on a ship based out of Yokohama, Japan, that's not allowed to dock. And you're hearing different things that Europe has closed their flights and all this different stuff talking. So we were heading up towards the tail end of a voyage up to Callao, Peru, to disembark our guests. And this is about just over a month ago, not more. And we found out that Peru had closed its borders. So I got a phone call from the general manager, hotel director equivalent. He says, I plan for a sea day. We're not making it to Callao tomorrow. It's going to be in probably another sea day the next day too. So boom, you wake up expecting to have one final day. This is mid-March, I think, on the 15th. And here you have 2 sea days. So they turned the ship around. This was Oceana Marina, and headed back down south to Chile to disembark the guests as we were there just a couple of days before. In that time frame, they closed that port as well, all port traffic, commercial traffic, port, all ships. So here we are, day four, day at sea. We try and figure out, okay, Chile's closed. We go back around Cape Horn, back up to Brazil. Nope, too far. They eventually found out we can have a spot to go through the Panama Canal. Don't know specifically when it'll be. So this is now day five, six, day at sea. We don't know when we're going to go through the canal, so plan for another sea day. We're there at anchor for 2 or 3 days. So I think that's where you have the ability to go back to your experience. You know, what are your go-to events that maybe you have not necessarily used for Oceania, but maybe you've used them on your previous contracts with Celebrity, or perhaps back in the day with NCL back, you know, 1995 to 2010. All the stuff you have that's on Spix, or just you know, in your mind what you can do. So in that sense, you know, it's one of those things when you're put to the challenge, you're going to rise to the occasion, and everyone else is looking at you as the go-to. Hey, what can we offer? Like, all right, let's find out where we have our dispersal. Do we have the food and beverage? Can we offer anything inside the lounge? Any other the wine tastings? Can any other departments do anything to offer it? So it's kind of breaking out the fun and games, the old, you know, family feuds, and throw out a Liars Club out there as well. Other things that, you know, try to experiment, try different things for the first time. This is your opportunity to do so. So I was really kind of happy to find out finally when we knew when we're going to make it to Miami, because then you definitely know, okay, how much, you know, kind do you throw into the fire when you run out of wood? What day, how do you budget everything going on? But it was really, you know, a lot of fun. The entertainers, if they were able to stay, they weren't able to fly anywhere. So we said, hey, you guys, if you want the work, we would love to have you stay on board, because we can't get you off anywhere else specific. But the entertainers they bring on had at least, you know, 2, 3, 45-minute shows each.
Wow.
Some of them also helped, you know, a piano set inside the lounge as a matinee or evening show, and it's all request songs by the guests. So just one entertainer and the piano. It's just, I was so happy for the entire team. You know how it's like to depend on everyone behind the scenes, yep. Front of house, back of house, and that entertainment field on the ships, and just everyone rose to the occasion, made it happen, and it's probably one of the most memorable cruises I've been part of. So.
Amazing. I don't know if we can do this, but when we post this to social media, if we're not able to somehow link the video at the end, do you mind sharing that song that you did on like one of the last nights to the rendition?
It was the rendition of Oceana Marina to the song Hotel California. So a couple of days, I rewrote the lyrics in my office, rehearsed it with a piano entertainer, Martin Kai, who was on board the ship at the time. He was one of our featured guest entertainers who was happened to be returning back to surprise his girlfriend and happened to be on the ship at the time. And then said, hey, you can't disembark the ship. You can't go anywhere. Worked with his agent in our office and said, hey, can we use Martin as part of his main shows? And it was just icing, you know, on the cake, feather in our cap, just to have it. But yeah, that was a fun show.
Amazing.
Full matinee, but that was one of the closers.
So. Amazing. It's time now for word association. I'm going to give out a name or a word. You know none of what I'm going to say, and you just have to say the first thing that kind of comes to your mind. I know you hate this kind of stuff.
It's getting red, I can tell.
Bring it on.
All right. Klaus Lugmeier.
Klaus Lugmeier, featured hotel director within Norwegian. We certainly had a lot of fun. He pushed you to your limits. He brought the best out of you, brought the best for the guests. The only person I know on national TV to give the hotel director's deck phone number in case anyone's on board the ship needs to contact him. And still one of those names in the industry. He's still within, you know, NCL and your top, your hotel operations. And when you talk NCL, you can't go a sentence without saying how much impact he's had on the industry.
Yep. Ricky Matthews.
Ricky Matthews, Mr. Energy. Ricky was my assistant cruise director back on the Norwegian Sky, if I'm not mistaken. And loads of fun filming the morning show with him. I nicknamed him Mr. Energy. And you still see to this day his social posts, like the sweat man. Just,
I don't know how he does
any
it.
Any guest that cruises with him, it's amazing that he's still cranking it at that intensity of what he does. But what a great friend and a colleague to have in the industry, and a huge heart. What a great guy. Great guy, Ricky.
Ed Alonso.
Wow. Now we're getting some great, great names. Probably one of our featured magicians that you and I both just thoroughly enjoy. And all the stuff that we could have him do just out of the blue, being part of the team on board the ships, and then to follow what he's doing, you know, his main shows, his Halloween shows, his work with Britney Spears, all these different fun things. But gosh, that was I think the opening scenes there with, you know, who's going to bring the swords and a blow-up doll on board a ship and figure out how this is going to go down. But, that was hilarious. One of the best.
Last one. Wow. Last one. Fred Klett.
Fred Klett, I think to this day, one of the top feature guest entertainers I've ever worked with. And just ever since, I think, the mid to late 1990s, working with Fred. And one of those people who just is so genuine and a master of his craft. And all, you know, a full-on show, no vulgarity, standing ovations, roaring, the improvisation skills that he has, assisting with the late-night shows, the Liars Clubs and so forth. People say, who's your favorite, you know, comedian in the industry? Fred comes right to mind. And wow, nice. What a name.
Nice. Well, listen, Paul, we want to thank you for taking a little bit of time. As I mentioned, we'll catch up on another Zoom call with a few of our colleagues, and we'll have a lot of fun. Mitch, do you have anything for Paul?
No. Yeah. Just want to say thanks. Yeah. It's amazing to hear about your experience on that cruise up there. You kind of hit the nail on the head, and you always plan for a certain amount of days. And that's what we do. That's how we want to make sure the guests have the great time, and we plan it perfectly. And when it's up in the air and you don't know when it's going to end, it bugs you because you want to be able to end on a high, and it's just,
you want to plan.
You want to be able to plan it. And it's amazing to hear.
You're a cruise director, not a cruise winger. So exactly. That's it.
Cool stuff. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Paul.
All right.
Appreciate you.
All right, guys. All the best. See you when I see you.
Thank you, bro. Nice. It's great to have Paul on, except he was wearing that New York Yankees shirt. I don't know what was going on there, but anyway, well, I digress. Right. So listen, hey, Mitch, next
episode. I grew up a Yankees fan.
Did you really?
My brother, yeah. I don't know.
Amazing. Well, listen, I think this was a great episode. We'll continue on with episode number 5 coming up very, very soon. We want to thank you all for tuning in. Any last words, Mitch?
Yeah. You know, we still have a minute or two, so I just want to quickly go back. You were talking about, you know, that funny prank that you guys pulled. One of my favorite stories is a prank that you actually pulled. And before I forget, we're still in the show. We got to talk about it. Tell us about the story with the water bottles and the hotel director. On sign-off day.
We should get Bob Taggart on.
He's funny.
I think we should get Bob Taggart and Robert Hines on, hotel director and HR manager. So very quickly, Robert Taggart, hotel director. As cruise director, you know, we report to the hotel director, immediate supervisor. He was signing off in Aruba. I was on the bridge for lifeboat drill. I went to Captain Ron Holmes. I said, Captain, can I borrow your master key? And he goes, why do you need my master key? I said, because I'm going to go get Taggart, hotel director. He goes, yeah, sure. Here you go. So I go into his room. His luggages were there. Now, Miguel Garcia was just as a part of this as well. He was broadcast tech. And so we go into his room, and all of his luggage is in the middle of his room, packed, ready to go. Because after boat drill, he's off going to the airport and going home. We unzip all of those suitcases, take all of his clothes out, put them back all in the drawers, and then take water bottles, full water bottles, and put them back in the suitcase and zip it up. Put it back where it was, head down. We're going off in Aruba. We're going to a beach. Going to go have a good time. And my name gets paged over the loudspeaker as I'm on the gangway. And it's Robert Hines, the HR manager. And he says, are you still on the ship? I said, well, I'm at the gangway. He goes, get off the ship. Don't come back for a few hours because he is pissed.
Did you talk to him after that? Like, did he forgive and forget?
There is a whole story. We can get into that another time. I know we're running out of time, but we'll get into that. But yes, there was repercussions that came from that.
Wow. You know, that's a good one. I mean, you don't mess with the boss, and you did, so you're still here. But yeah, so thanks for being here, everybody. It was cool to hear about the one of the final cruises still out there. And next episode, we'll talk a little bit about, can we go back yet? Because we're all hoping we'll maybe give you an update on what we've heard. And keep sending us questions and topics you want to hear about. We're going to make some plans on expanding for future episodes. So.
Great. Thanks, Mitch. And on behalf of myself, Mike, Mitch, cruise director over here, have a spectacular day, and we'll see you for the next one.
Thanks, everybody.